How much trouble is Greece in?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Officials from the European Union flew to Athens this morning. They're studying a plan to head off a financial crisis in Greece that could have global repercussions. Let's bring in Marketplace's European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Morning.
Hello, Bill.
Stephen, this is what I don't get. A lot of governments are having financial troubles. So what is so special about the situation in Greece?
Greece has a particular problem with its budget deficit because there are big doubts about whether it's going to be able to reduce it. As we've discussed before, Bill, there's a lot of tax evasion in Greece, so difficult to raise extra tax. And proposed cuts in public spending there have provoked some furious opposition from the public. So markets are not terribly optimistic about Greece's chances of trimming its deficit, and that's making it more difficult for the government in Athens to borrow the money it needs.
Well, Greece is a Eurozone country. Is the rest of Europe going to come to its aid?
Well, that is the multi-billion euro question. I mean, this morning, one of the European Central Bank's executive board members said the rest of Europe would not bail out the Greeks. And that immediately hit the value of the euro on currency markets, because if Greece is allowed to swing in the wind, if in an extreme case it defaulted, that could seriously undermine the euro. And this is where the international repercussions come in. If the euro were to weaken considerably, that could put further upward pressure on the US dollar, and that would not be welcome for the US. It would make American exports more expensive and perhaps hamper America's economic recovery.
Right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard there. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
And back on American soil now, cold soil. Florida farmers are battling sub-freezing temperatures this morning. They're trying to salvage millions of dollars of citrus and vegetable crops, spraying them in protective layers of ice and covering them up in plastic. Cold weather around the world is keeping the price of oil up. It's at $81.60 a barrel this morning. Analysts say gasoline will average $2.70 in the U.S. by this weekend, which is higher than it was all last year. European markets are mixed this morning, but Asian stocks rose again today. Japan's Nikkei hit a new 15-month high. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 gained 0.3% on some mixed economic news. The Nasdaq was flat. Shares of Ford surged 6.5% after Ford reported a sales increase in December. Sales for GM and Chrysler were down. The Dow lost about 12 points yesterday, closing at 10,572. There are rumors that Prada is in talks to be acquired by the Swiss luxury goods company Richemont. Prada says it's not true, but there's no denying the Italian fashion powerhouse has a lot of debt and could really use some cash. We asked Marketplace's Elisa Roth to look at Prada's options.
Prada may be synonymous with fancy Italian fashion, but the company has more than $1 billion of debt, and the recession has all but shut down what used to be its biggest markets, Western Europe, Japan, and the U.S.
Prada needs to find additional funding.
John Guy follows the luxury business at MF Global Securities. He says Prada's tried and failed to go public a couple of times. It's also reportedly turned down a couple of offers from private equity firms. Guy says it'll need money to move into the markets where people are still buying luxury goods, emerging economies in places like Asia and the Middle East.
Now, whether or not that comes from a listing or whether or not that comes from selling part of their business privately, they definitely do need to find additional funds.
Guy says he wouldn't be surprised if a small, family-owned company like Prada got gobbled up. Some of its competitors have done okay during the recession and seem to be in the mood for a little shopping spree. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week, the IRS announced it will, for the first time, require tax preparers to register with the government and keep their skills sharp. How effective will this be? Here's Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to confess, I assumed the IRS did screen tax preparers.
Well, it'd be nice to think that, but apparently not. When IRS Commissioner Doug Shulman took the wraps off their new report this week, it showed that their investigators found tax preparers, in many cases, were woefully incompetent and negligent when it came to tax law.
So this new drive for regulation means more accuracy now?
Well, in theory, it does. The IRS says they will require registration and certain testing standards, which ideally is going to bring all tax preparers up to the level, if not of a CPA, then at least close. It'll show that they understand the laws, they understand the terrain, and are qualified to do this work. But there are some serious loopholes here as well.
What are the loopholes?
Well, one of them is that many taxpayers might not realize that a number of tax returns are actually outsourced to places like India and elsewhere. Now, under federal law, you need to be told in advance if your tax preparer or accountant is going to outsource, but many people might just sign the document and not really think about the ramifications. Well, some people think that these new regulations that the IRS are imposing will make the job of tax preparer more expensive in the United States and thus increase the number of tax returns that are going abroad.
Have you followed any of these overseas preparations?
Actually, I spoke with an L.A. tax firm and asked them, did you ever try this? And they said, yeah, about a year or so ago, we outsourced about 40 returns just as an experiment. We sent them to India and we wanted to see what would happen. They said, you know, mostly technically the returns were done well, but some of the clients, once they found out about this, hated the idea that their personal information was traveling abroad. And so they put the kibosh on it. When I said, all right, well, is this something then that you feel is going to be trustworthy in the future? This tax firm in LA said, not a chance. You cannot guarantee quality. You cannot guarantee privacy overseas. So if this is a growing trend, that's something that our federal regulators need to watch for.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, two Indiana cities are taking $7,500 from KFC to put Colonel Sanders' face on their fire hydrants. It's a promotion for KFC's new fiery chicken wings. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I am warning you, KFC, someone will take their dog to one of those hydrants, and they will post the video on the internet, just so you know. This is Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.